Everyone, this is Oleg Arabasian. Did I pronounce it correct?
Yeah, that's good. It's like Kardashian, there's a Bashian.
Ah, okay. Well, he has an incredible website, and it's called The People's Cube. And you have an incredible, unique way of taking the political truth and putting it and showing it in its absurdity as it was acted out. And it is fantastic, the things that you've done. Everybody, you really have to go and visit that website. And please tell everybody about it. What made you decide to do that?
I'm sorry, I missed the last part that you said.
No, what made you
tell
decide
people,
to put a website together like that, that made
what made me,
there,
all right, right.
That, I mean, because it's such a unique slant on politics, but it shows, it's so pointed in what, you know, you're driving at. It really shows the message. So it's a very unique site. I really enjoy reading it. So I wanted to know what made you, what gave you the decision to do that?
Right. First of all, let's say that the name of the website is The People's Cube, and the address is thepeoplescube.com. And I guess I first have to explain what The People's Cube is. It's a politically correct Rubik's Cube. Everybody knows what the Rubik's Cube is, but in this case, it's all red. All sides, all squares are red, and that makes all of the squares equal. All the sides are equal, because it's unfair that some side is yellow and another one is white, or another one is brown or whatever. And also, it makes all players equal, because then if all sides of the Rubik's Cube are red, then nobody is too smart and nobody is too slow and everybody is equal. And it's also colorblind friendly. And nobody is a boob with the People's Cube. So that's kind of the mascot of the website. And I'm selling it. If anybody wants to have this kind of icebreaker conversation piece or an argument in a discussion with the leftists, they're welcome to go and get it on my website. But the website is a lot more than that, of course. And as a former Soviet citizen, I was appalled at seeing how much headway socialism has made in the United States. And so I decided to start this satirical website to, on the one hand, to make fun of the leftists, of the socialists, communists, and on the other, and their ideas, and the politicians who promote those ideas, even though they don't always call themselves communists, they often call themselves Democrats. But still, the message is the same. So the best way to make fun of them is through parody, satire, which is what we do. My website is sort of like a spoof party organ. In the Soviet Union, the Pravda, the newspaper of the Communist Party, was called the party organ. And so we call the People's Cube the party organ, and it delivers the current truth to the masses, and the current truth always changes. The change, you know, the current truth is subject to change without notice. That's how the mainstream media operates as well, because what was truth yesterday is not truth anymore today. You were talking earlier about erasing history. Now, just the latest example is with Jeffrey Epstein, who was rearrested and is now being investigated. He used to be a big friend of the Clintons, and he traveled with Bill Clinton a lot. And now all the pictures of them have been scrubbed from the internet. But instead, you can find a lot of pictures of Epstein and Donald Trump together. And if you go to Google and try to type in Epstein Clinton in the search, there will be absolutely no suggestions as to what the stories might be. You know how mm-hmm. Google drops down a list of suggestions. But if you type in Epstein and Trump, you will have a lot of suggestions with regards to their connections. And so the media is promoting that part of the story and downplaying the Clinton part of the story. So that's it's just like in, during Stalin times, there was a book about that called Commissar Vanishes. How in the newspapers, in the books, people were being erased from photographs. Once they were declared enemy of the people, there was a famous photograph of Joseph Stalin standing next to three of his comrades, and then eventually one of his comrades was declared enemy of the people and shot, and then that figure was erased from the photograph, and since then the photograph was published in the newspapers without that person. There was just a blank wall in his place. Then the next comrade was declared enemy of the people and executed, and so the second one was erased. And then the third one was convicted and was sent to the gulag. And eventually that same photograph was of Stalin alone, standing alone against the wall, and that was a pretty popular image of him.
That's so right.
That's how. So whatever is happening today is not new, and no matter how many times the leftists will tell me that the American left has nothing to do with the Soviet Union, that is not true, because they, in details, it may not exactly look like it, but in all the ideological lines, all their tendencies, their goals are the same. Of course,
that's right. That's,
it's a, in a different.
That's what I was just talking about. I am so glad you said that, because what they have done is make everything outcome based. They know in advance where they want to wind up, and it doesn't matter how they lie to get there, because that's the truth of the day.
Yeah, and they of course, have a double standard, because on the one hand, yes, they are very care very much about the outcomes, but they tell us that all outcomes should be equal for everybody.
Mm.
And again, we're going back to the People's Cube. The all red Rubik's Cube represents equality of outcomes, where no matter how well you play, it'll be exactly the same outcome. So it greatly improves your self-esteem.
Right.
Also, you were talking about that Florida Agricultural Commissioner, Nikki,
Freed.
The last name?
Nikki Freed.
Nikki Freed, right. She was representing the Democrats, and she said that she is following Democratic values. And, you know, in a crazy way, I wish they all would follow Democratic values, all the Democrats, because then they would self-destruct. First of all, they will not reproduce. They already have undermined themselves by making it an affirmative action party. And if you remember, Barack Obama was obviously an affirmative action president.
Yes.
And they had an affirmative action DNC chair, also the Floridian, Wasserman Schultz. And the next one was Donna Brazile, another affirmative action DNC chairwoman. And as a result, the Democrats have lost presidency, lost the White House, the Senate, Congress, ability to appoint judges. And they need to continue, you know, keep digging,
yes.
Comrades. Like if they... Like, you know, if they were to live up to their party principles, we would probably do not have Democrats anymore. Unfortunately, they do not always live up to their own principles, but I wish they were. Like, for example, they should relinquish all positions of power to the less fortunate, previously overlooked due to their lack of skills, intelligence, language proficiency, work ethics, or felony record, hygiene, or another disability. Give your positions to them.
I think that is only fair.
Yeah, balkanized.
That is a fair thing too.
The Democratic Party needs to be balkanized by splitting it into 1,000 factions based on race, gender, language, country of origin, ethnicity, culture, religion, sexual orientation, profession, education, disability. Let them fight each other to the death for power.
No.
That's what they're doing to the rest of the country, but they should do it to their own party first.
Yes, and I think I am hoping that this is the beginning. It looks like we're getting a little crack in the armor, and it looks like there's a lot of nasty things going on in the back. But part of our problem, and that's why your site is so wonderful, is because we either don't answer them, or we can't answer them the right way, or we make everything into a fight when what we should be doing is throwing it back at them. And that would at least begin to start the ball rolling, because otherwise, what are we doing? We're just complying, and now it's getting dumber and dumber and dumber and worse and worse and worse. You know, when do we say it's enough already?
And that's why I supported Trump from the very beginning, because I realized that he's the one who can actually fight them, and he's not going to give in. And he's proved me right, and he's been like a tank going over the minefield. You know, he's not bothered by all those mines that explode under his feet. He's too big for that. And previously, the left were able to manipulate the discourse in the society, you know, build a narrative by proactively choosing their positions on different topics and shifting the priorities of that national discourse from, you know, suddenly before before George Bush, there was absolutely no talk about gay marriage. All throughout the Clinton presidency, nobody talked about it. Suddenly, when Bush became president, they were all talking about gay marriage. Then during the and then as Obama became president, they suddenly stopped. And then they started talking about transgenders. And they didn't talk about it earlier, and they will probably stop talking about it if, God forbid, another Democrat becomes president. Then, and so on and so forth. You know, if you imagine a circle with different topics, the opposed, diametrically opposed topics, you know, on the opposite side of the circle, and there is like an arrow that is being moved back and forth. It's like on the Wheel of Fortune, you know, from one topic to another. The Democrats were choosing those topics proactively, and the Republicans were the reactionaries. They were never proactive. They were always reacting to what the Democrats were doing, and they were immediately, the knee-jerk reaction was to oppose, to take the diametrically opposite position of the Democrats. And that was how the Democrats were able to lure Republicans to take the worst, the most indefensible, the most ridiculous, absurd position. And that existed for quite a while. And then Trump showed up and introduced what I call perpendicular thinking. He's not taking opposite positions. The Democrats may try to build their own discourse, but he takes a like vaguely perpendicular position to theirs, not exactly the opposite, and that confuses the hell out of them, and they don't know what to do, and they take Now they are forced to take the opposite of Trump's position, and that is how Trump is able to bring them to that sorry state where they take laughable positions, the indefensible positions that people will not support. And he's been able to play with them like, you know, like I play with the laser light and the cat. They were
right.
jumping on the walls, you know, because
yes.
Trump is playing with them like this. And now they are taking the positions. We've seen this Democratic debate where everybody agreed to give money, first of all, to invite all the anybody from in the world who wants to come to America and come in, you know, no problem.
Right,
give
no
them
problem.
All free health care.
Mm-hmm.
Give everybody $1,000 monthly income. Give at the taxpayer's expense. And the taxpayers then what, chopped liver? Nobody cares about the taxpayers. And so eventually people are going to look at this Democratic Party, all those candidates, and think that these are just a bunch of crazies.
Well, I agree with you, and that's one of the things that I always say is that their path is always the same no matter what their target is. If you understand that, then what you have to do is use that path, only change the outcome, because it's easy to do. They lay it out for you. They tell you exactly what they're going to do. You know, oh, we're going to have Antifa and we're going to riot in front of blah, blah, blah. Well, you know that's going to happen, so you have a choice. You know in advance the things that they're going to do. You don't have to sit there and take it. It is absurd to do that. You've got to answer them back. But you don't do it confronting them. You do it asking them questions using their own words.
Yeah, there is, and that's what I've been doing on my website. There was an article I published a while ago, the questions that you need to ask the progressives, and that will just expose their absurdity. Of course, they may not notice it themselves, but at least we can have fun with that.
Oh, please,
yeah.
Put that back again. That's very important. It really is, because...
Yeah.
What happens is we get caught up in us, you know, like the individual, blah, blah, blah. We get caught up in that and we say, instead of saying, asking a question and trying to get involved in a conversation, we'll say, here's all of the supplies and materials, or go Google that and come up with your own decision, not realizing they're not capable of coming up with a decision.
Mm.
You have to make decision for them. That's what they're used to. So until you can get them to trust you, and then you can teach them how to make their own decision, you got to feed them the decision. And the easiest way to do it is to follow the same path that they're used to getting, which is a bunch of lies to tell you that the earth is going to freeze or boil, mm. and we have to put a tax on and get rid of all the straws in the world, and that's going to, you know, save the planet if we get rid of the straws in California.
Right, right. Well, I think roughly the left can be divided into two groups. Of course, there is more, but like I said, roughly. Delusional people who do not have clear thinking, either they were conditioned to be that way or they were born that way, and who believe fanatically in all these leftist ideals or goals, and like the glorious world of next Tuesday is right behind the corner, you know, just at the end of hand's reach, just right over that mountain of dead bodies, we'll be there soon. And then there is a group of liars, like witch doctors, who are deliberately telling those lies to them and to us, and manipulating, you know, the master manipulators. And so arguing with either of the groups is kind of pointless. Of course, there are some people who can be salvaged, but if somebody cannot think clearly, it's hard to convince that person with logic, And if somebody is a witch doctor and a liar whose existence depends on his lies, then what's the point of arguing? You will not be able to convince him of anything because he's motivated not to be convinced. So you mentioned bring it back, that old article. You know, I feel like I have to bring back a lot of old articles because when I started my website, a lot of people thought that I think I was a little bit ahead of my time because a lot of people did not understand what I was doing. They were thinking, socialism, what are you talking about? Socialism is impossible in America. But I saw it, and now, years later, we see that how many college students are in favor of socialism, according to latest polls. And so I recently republished my old article about 4th of July that you remember. We had a little bit of an email exchange about it.
Yes.
So 12 years later, it's as relevant as before, and it got traction and it became viral again because a lot of more people now understand what is really going on.
Yes. Yes, I remember when I first started, there was maybe 8 to 10 people in a room, and now there's hundreds of people in a room, and they are beginning to see, you know, that's why I think the way you have done it, to re-educate the people, because it gives them it doesn't have to be so horrible and dark. You know, you have to be able to communicate, and you can't communicate if you're constantly hitting the other person over the head. They're not going to listen. But if you can, get in there and get a little glimmer of light, you may have a shot. But if it doesn't,
and we have a positive message. Our message is positive. Theirs is negative.
They may
say that it's positive. And they, you know, it was funny how the Communist Party leaders kept telling us in the Soviet Union that the communists were historical optimists. And I was thinking, how are they historical optimists if they tell us that if people are given freedom, they will start killing each other and eventually the society will collapse? So how is that optimistic? So we need a dictatorship in order to keep everybody in line and maintain at least some semblance of normalcy, even though we're poor and we're oppressed. Like, I call it socialism neo-slavery, and it's like soft slavery. I wish we had reparations for that from Karl Marx family.
I had a question. The first slave in America was white, and the slave owner was black. So where do I get reparations?
Right. Well, it's a moot subject. You know, the left always claims that America became rich by stealing land and using slave labor. But you look at all those countries who used to steal land and use slave labor, and they have nothing.
They're still stealing land and using slave labor. Nothing has changed.
Yeah, exactly. In the Middle East and other places in Africa. For example, when America was fighting its civil war against slavery and liberating slaves, Turkey was still advancing its slave-owning power, you know, empire, to European populated nations and enslaving them and taking slaves and selling them on slave markets in the Middle East and Africa, North Africa. That was happening. Are we going to get reparations from the Turks? And then the Turks stole the land from so many countries. They came from Central Asia. Not so long ago, by the way. They destroyed the Byzantine Empire, took over their land, and they took over Greece. They took over the Balkans. Then eventually Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria. They took half of Austria and reached Vienna twice.
Right.
in history, and the last time they were defeated in the end of the 17th century. So why isn't Turkey as rich? It stole so much land. Before them, there was a Mongolia who had the biggest empire in the world. You know, Genghis Khan created the biggest empire in the world that stretched from the Atlantic Sea to the, from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. And how many million years does Mongolia have today? You know, what bank are those treasures today? There are none. That the only reason America is rich is because it had freedom and the free markets and a system that allowed people to excel and be creative. So and that's what the left is trying to destroy.
Well, we need more voices like yours, and we need you to be doing such a magnificent job. The one that caught my eye, which I thought was really great, was the People's Valentine Guide to Dating Dictators.
That was good. I had fun doing that. And, you know,
it is a wonderful website, folks. It just gives you a slant. It's not you have to be able to poke fun. If you can't poke fun, then, you know, what else is there if you can't have fun? And not everything is fun, but you got to be able to recognize and get the message across, because some of the people on the left are beginning to falter, and it would be nice if we were there to help pick them up. They are not happy, as Oleg just said, with the Democrat Party and what is going on. They are not the Democrat Party that they knew and signed up for. And we have a chance to capitalize on that.
I see such people here in Florida where there are lots of snowbirds from the northern states, like Michigan, for example, and a lot of them are union auto workers who are traditional Democrats. But they are, when you talk to them, their values are Republican. They just don't realize it. They just, keep voting Democrat because they've always done that, and their parents have done that. But that's not... they don't belong there, and I hope that those people will just begin to understand
those are the people that directing them to take a look at things differently, because we are being lied to so much that it's hard to even pick out anymore what the truth is. So there are those people that are just sitting around teetering, and because they're so used to getting direction, they're not getting any, they're nervous, they're upset. We need to be the shoulder to cry on and gain trust, because first you have to gain trust, and then we can gently say, do you really think that blah, 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 blah is a good idea? Or the next time they call somebody a racist, you can say, could you give me an example of that? Because I can't find one.
Right. And also, don't underestimate the role of humor in jokes. For example, the Soviet Union collapsed in part, not only because of jokes, but in part because of that, because everybody stopped believing in the official propaganda and were telling political jokes. That was the hottest thing that people did. Like today, they exchange memes on the internet. In my days, in the Soviet Union, they exchanged jokes the same way. And so that was one of the things that, changed people's minds. Because if you laugh at something one day, you cannot believe at the thing you laughed at the next day. And so on and so forth. And then... also, instead of just directly telling people, you can tell stories. Like, for example, I wrote two books in which I tell stories. The latest one is called Hotel USSR, which is the story of growing up in the USSR, living there and experiencing socialism, living, you know, growing up in a totalitarian country is quite an interesting experience, very different from American experience. And I don't tell directly that it was this was bad, this was gruesome, this made people suffer. No, this is not a dark or depressing book. It's fun. It's a funny book, but it tells stories about life under socialism that will make people not want to repeat that experience ever again.
Right, and
it's
that's
better to
what's
learn
so
about
important,
it from the books.
Folks. History. We cannot allow what's going on, politicians, to get rid of, destroy a mural of George Washington that was done in 1932.
Right, right.
Can't
I
allow
heard about
that to happen.
Yeah,
well,
I saw somebody suggested to make that a federal monument, the national monument, because it was built with federal money on federal property.
It should. It should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least they should be able to take it out. I don't care what it is. They can take everything else out. They can take that out, too, and then restore it. You don't have things like that. We need our history. We need to be able to have reference points. Well, Oleg, I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening, and I certainly hope you will come back because I would love to have your take on some of the characters that are running for office. Ooh, yes. This is going to be quite a an interesting cat fight, I would have to say, because that's what it's
right.
going to be.
Right, and so let's do it sooner, because by the time we get together, there won't be many of them left. So
you're right.
Has already
I will send you, I will look at the calendar and send you a date. That'll be wonderful. Folks, tell everybody again where they can find you.
All right. ThePeoplesCube.com is the website. Then my last name, Atbashian. If you go to Atbashian.com, that's like a hub. You will find my books, my writings, my essays, my satires, and the link to The People's Cube. So the books are, one is called Shakedown Socialism, and the second one is Hotel USSR.
Folks, this is a real treat. I have to just say one more is I love MABA, Make Alexandria Barmaid Again.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. So yeah, anyway, go to my website, get the book, and learn all you need to know about life, liberty, and the pursuit of damaged goods. That is what my book is about.
Thank you so much, and I will be in touch. Thank you.
Okay, very good.
Have a
Thank
great
you.
Evening.